tolerated. The rumbles continued, and the wailing of sirens increased. Around her, in the flanking cells, the other inhabitants perked up, coming to their bars to peek, craning to hear the vague commotion so far overhead. To her surprise, the chaos got louder. Odd, because just overhead were the storage levels, an added buffer between the projects and the experimental labs. What had the scientists done this time to create such havoc? Cracking sounds, screams, more shaking of the walls, and for the first time ever, the sirens in their section lit with a red whirling light and ululating screech. How exciting. The end was nigh, or so the misshapen creature in cell number 29 began to scream.
"We're all gonna die,"
yelled the monster, who was half man, half melted monstrosity.
"Me first, please."
"Get in line," warbled the amphibious prisoner in the cell across from hers. "I've been here longer than you. I should go first."
Actually, Project was the longest living inhabitant of the dungeon, but she kept that to herself, not wanting to draw their jealousy. "I am the queen of experimental torture. Yay for me." Up and down the corridor, people shouted their right to die first. Project didn't add her voice. Life as a prisoner might suck, but still, who said death would be an improvement? Surely there existed more to the world than an endless series of sterile labs, concrete cells, nondescript corridors, and men in white coats. Not everyone lived in a locked room, and according to the books she'd read, before the doctors took them away, a whole world existed outside the lab, a vast place where a shifter could live, free of rules and rounds of blood work. Amelie, who used to occupy the cell alongside hers, spoke wistfully of the life she left behind. When their guards served gruel, Amelie used to stare at it and cry about how much she missed McDonald's. Wasn't he the guy who owned a farm? Still, despite some of her obvious off-the-wall observations, Project loved to listen to Amelie and the other captives tell their stories. Tall tales about how outside the lab, there were no doctors in white coats waiting to do tests, or guards kicking over their bowls of mush, and where the toilet paper didn't scrape a bottom raw. Okay, so Project believed in fairy tales. It helped pass the time. It took a while, 2,761 seconds to be precise, before the popping sounds and screams stopped. The building ceased its shutters, but the sirens still spun with a macabre red light while wailing. As melodies went, she preferred the occasional screaming. And then, the alarm stopped. Dead silence took its place as even the prisoners clammed up, everyone straining to hear something. The lack of any noise proved even worse than the blaring horn. The click and metallic clang of the door unlocking at the far end of the row saw her stepping back from the cell's only opening. Trepidation weaved its icy tendrils through her frame, and she chewed her lower lip. Who came? Usually in an emergency, the inhabitants of the dungeon were the last to get checked on, the prisoners considered expendable. Something about this whole scenario didn't seem right. The thump of feet. One. Two, three, signaled someone came.
"Oh my God, he's got a gun!"
an inmate screamed.
"And he's covered in blood. Welcome, death. I've been waiting,"
blubbered the blob. None of the comments inspired confidence, and Project took another step back.
"Holy freaking nightmare,"
the curse, uttered in a gravelly voice, sent shivers down her spine. She didn't recognize the owner of the voice. Another bad sign. Feeling suddenly faint, she huddled into a ball in the corner of her cell, trying to drown out the echoing pops that preceded the clank and creak of bars being swung open, the muttered expletives, the harsh sobs as her cellmates met the man with the deep voice.
"Has death finally come for us?"
Project squeezed her eyes shut and clenched her fists, straining to call her other shape.
"Go, go, shape-shifting animal,"
she sighed as one